What is crack-a-lackin', Hardwood Knox listeners? I am Dan Favalli, coming at you once more without my fantabulous co-host, Adam Brommel. Our team look-ahead train rolls onward, though. We are nearing the end. This is the penultimate team look-ahead podcast. We've been through a lot together, guys. Thanks for listening. We are up to the Chicago Bulls. Jason Pat was kind enough to come join me. He is an editor for the Clutch Points app, contributor to Bulls Blogger, Forbes. He's also the co-host of the Cash Considerations podcast, which also falls under the Blue Wire umbrella. Go check them out. Follow him on Twitter, at Bulls_J. That's at Bulls_JAY. Highly recommend following him on Twitter. Before we get started, the usual housekeeping notes. As we wrap up these team look-ahead trains, the season is basically upon us. We have a landing page up at NBA Math where you can view all the team look-aheads that I recorded. Adam and I have podcasts for breakout candidates from every NBA team split into the East and Western Conference, two separate pods. I also did with Bleacher Report's Grant Hughes offseason grades. We split those into two separate parts, East and West. Time stamped the hell out of these things. The ad locators do change if you're downloading them for the first time. So some of those timestamps become ballparks after the first week that they've been live. You can still sort of find it if you want to bounce around, jump around, find your team in those. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, please consider throwing us that permanent subscription. We cover the entire NBA at large. We are pleasantly sub-mediocre and modestly insufferable. Also, please head over to iTunes, whether you use it or not, as long as you have access. Throw us a five-star rating, write a review. If you have any feedback, feel free to throw it our way. Even if it's critical, just the five stars help us a ton in the charts. And if you're not listening to this podcast for the first time, if you're a religious listener that has not done that, or is not subscribed, or is not downloading our episode, you know, maybe start. That'd be awesome. We'd really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter at Hardwood Knox. Follow us on Instagram at Hardwood_Knox. You can go to our YouTube channel where I've also posted every single Team Look Ahead pod under its own playlist. YouTube.com, search Hardwood Knox. We will come up right there. So throw us a subscription there as well. That is all out of the way. So now let's move on to the Chicago Bulls. Lots and lots of Bulls talk. A fascinating team after all they did over the offseason. We get deep into them with Jason Pat, the co-host of the Cash Considerations podcast. Jason, thank you so much for coming on the Hardwood Knox podcast to talk some Chicago Bulls with me. They didn't really have a controversial offseason. I think everyone was in pretty agreement with how easy the decisions they made were and how great of an offseason they had. So while there's not much to talk about, I'm excited to talk about Bulls with you. In all seriousness, though, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, just as well as the Bulls, apparently a dominant preseason team, 3-0. They finally did have a close game the other night against the Cavs, but the first two games they crushed it. It's just nice to be a little bit excited about the Bulls. I know, obviously, joking about the controversy stuff, and we'll obviously get into that because they are, it seems like, pretty polarizing. It is nice that they are relevant, at least, because they've been irrelevant for the last, whatever, 4 or 5 years. So even if they are polarizing, and there are a lot of people that are kind of down on them, whatever, I get it. The Bulls need to prove it. It is just nice that they're actually being talked about, like, at all, in a way that's just, like, not completely horrible. So I'm looking forward to the season getting started, especially after some of these preseason games have been really fun to watch.
Yeah, so I watch minimal preseason. I just can't do it.
I've only watched Bulls. I don't think I haven't watched a minute of any other preseason game. So I'm in the Bulls because I got new guys and all that. But yeah, it's tough.
What might be an interesting change of pace is that there no longer seems to be like the national discourse of, is Zach LaVine good anymore? Everything has just been shifted to, oh, did the Bulls give up too much to have DeMar DeRozan on the roster? So maybe that's one benefit of the offseason that they went through.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, the LaVine thing, for sure. Like, I feel like some people are still maybe a little late coming around on him. Obviously, he deserved all the question marks before, but he's gotten better every single season in Chicago. He was awesome last year. I know the record still wasn't very good. And then, like, after the Vucevic trade, they didn't really do anything. That's because LaVine got hurt. He had COVID, and that just kind of, that kind of derailed the season. But like before that, his first half of the year, like, he was keeping the roster afloat, a garbage roster basically. Again, it was like him and Thad Young, some Garrett Temple in there as well, like, were the only guys really doing much of anything. And yeah, so I think a lot of people are expecting now with more talent for the Bulls to look better, for Zach to finally get more shine here. And a lot of people, I don't want to say that. The Bulls aren't going to go to the finals. He's not going to take like the Devin Booker track and like him and this team is going to go to the finals. But I think some people might start to at least recognize him being like more on that level, on that Booker level, Donovan Mitchell, like those peers, those guard peers, like that he's with. So hopefully, like I said, hopefully it doesn't crash and burn here. But I think if Zach can play like he did last season, like he was just so ridiculously efficient. Now he's got more talent around him. The Team USA thing, he played like really, really solid just role on that with his defense. Hopefully that solid defense will transfer over to the season, and hopefully he'll just get the recognition that he deserves. I think some people are still behind, some people are still skeptical, which I do get. They still haven't won anything, but if he does play like he did last year, he will start getting more of that recognition.
So off the dribble 3-point shooting the past 2 years has just been absolutely ridiculous. So Zach LaVine is good. Spicy takes here, but that's not. It's nice that it doesn't feel like that's as large of a discussion. Was more so what I'm saying. I am curious though, as someone who follows and covers the team more intimately, what do you just think about their offseason in general? Even when, if you're not looking at it from a fit, if you just think, even you said it's nice that we're talking about the Bulls in more relevant terms now. Lots of people have just focused on the opportunity cost of what they've given up to build this roster, dating back to the Vooch trade with the DeMar DeRozan sign and trade versus how good can these Bulls actually be? So just where do you sort of land on the decision-making process that they've traveled down the past like 6 or 8 months?
Yeah, I mean, just going back to the Vooch trade, it was, I think, a bit much. I think you could argue there was a bit of an overpay there, but I mean, Vooch is still really good. Again, it didn't really pay off last year with LaVine getting hurt and getting COVID. It just kind of totally nuked that. It was just, and just the weird season working in new guys. They had like no practice time and all that. It just didn't work out down the stretch. But I think now, hopefully, with the training camp and all that, obviously, they're working a bunch of new guys. Hopefully, that'll work out better. Again, giving up two first-round picks was a lot, but the Bulls need to do something, I think, at that point. I mean, they just saw AK and Mark Eversley did like nothing in the first offseason. It was basically draft Patrick Williams, sign Garrett Temple, and they were just like, all right, we'll see what we got here. And they realized very quickly that what they had was crap. They traded Wendell Carter Jr. They moved on from Lowry this offseason. They just realized like this, the young thing, like rebuilding with these young guys is just not going anywhere. And with Zach's free agency coming up next offseason, like they had to show they meant business and they were going to get some better players around them. So did they overpay for Vucevic? Probably a little bit, but he is really good. I mean, he's a great 3-point shooter, good passer, obviously a low post scorer, just gives a versatile offensive player. Hopefully that will work out. And then going into this offseason, obviously they strike right away with Lonzo. We're obviously still waiting on this tampering investigation, like what's going on with there. Like there have been rumors that they could lose a first round pick. We'll see.
My favorite conspiracy theory is that they chose getting the first round pick back in the Lowry trade over the Larry Nance Jr. trade because they're convinced that they're going to be fine to first round pick.
Maybe it would be great if that doesn't happen. But if they do lose that first, they obviously did get one back in the Lowry trade, as you said. But I mean, Lonzo, the fact that they were obviously in on him last trade deadline, there were talks about like Lowry for Lonzo. Then they've been in on him for so long. It makes a lot of sense. He fits well next to Zach. He obviously had a best year of his career last year. His 3-point shot has come around. Theoretically, defensively, he should be really good. He's been awesome on defense in preseason. We'll see if that translates. I feel like with the Pelicans last year, the Pelicans were just a weird team last year. Like Lonzo was good, but every time I watch, like the time the Bulls played them, they just like roasted them like all the time. Their defense was really bad for a while. So like, I was curious just like how good Lonzo is because I didn't watch them that much. So far, I mean, he's obviously got good size. He's been very active. I think he had like 4 blocks and 3 steals in the last game. So if he's going to play defense like that, that's obviously huge. And I'm sure we'll talk about the defense thing coming up here because that's one of the big question marks about them. But he's looked great so far. The Caruso deal, great move. They got him for the mid-level exception, I believe. And so far, he's been awesome in preseason too. So like talking about defense, they know they needed to add better defenders. They add those two guys. Make a ton of sense. The DeRozan thing has obviously been super polarizing. And when it first happened, and it was 3 years, I think it was reported 385. I think it's actually like 382. Obviously, whatever. A couple million.
That changes
total.
Everything for me. A plus.
Yeah, exactly. when I first saw that and like what they gave him, what they gave up, definitely some sticker shock going there. Like, wow. There were the rumors, and DeRozan recently addressed this, I think in a convo with like Shams about like people are saying like he might take like the mid-level to play with like the Lakers or like the Clippers or something to go home. And he was like, yeah, that was kind of disrespectful. He was like, that was just never going to happen. But you do wonder, like, what other teams were offering. Like, were the Bulls just, like, did they totally outbid themselves, basically, against themselves? You do wonder that. I do think the deal is probably a bit much. And they also gave up a first there. They gave up Thad Young. There were rumors that, like, Lowry thought he was going to go to the Spurs in that deal, but he didn't. Again, maybe they didn't want to do it because they thought maybe they could get a first round pick for him, and they did get that first round pick back. So maybe that was going on there. But the DeRozan thing, like he definitely brings some stuff to the table that will really help the Bulls. He gets to the free throw line a lot. The Bulls were dead last in free throw shooting last year. Just another guy who can score in the half court. The Bulls have just relied so much on Zach in the last couple of years to do much. And like, while he can hit some crazy shots sometimes, like at the end of games, it was a lot of times it's just him playing hero ball and throwing a garbage. And sometimes it would go in because he can hit ridiculous shots, but a lot of times it didn't. So having another is just, and DeRozan's gotten so much better at passing as well. So having another smart passer, that kind of stuff. I know he doesn't really shoot threes, and that's a big knock on him. He actually did hit two the other night against the Cavs, including like a
pull. That's how he gets us, is we see him hit like a couple threes a game. Like, oh, is this the season?
And yeah. No. But yeah, like I think offensively it'll be fine. Like I think with Lonzo, Zach, Vooch, DeRozan, Patrick Williams is the fifth starter once he's healthy. Like you got a bunch of guys who are pretty smart players. They can pass, handle the ball, playmaking. So hopefully ball movement, that pushing the pace, stuff like that, we'll see. I know with like Vooch, maybe not a push the pace guy. DeRozan maybe not as much either, but like with the passing and like Lonzo and Zach out there, they're gonna look to push the pace for sure. And Patrick Williams is a young dude. He can get out there and play some hit three pointers, push pace as well. Hopefully that'll work. The defense, again, there are questions. They're actually number one in defensive rating in preseason. It is preseason. That means like nothing. They have like Lonzo has been, like I mentioned, Lonzo's been good defensively. Caruso has been huge. DeRozan, obviously, defense is just not his thing. He'll be playing a lot of small ball four like he did with the Spurs last year. He's had moments defensively in preseason. But I don't want to say too much. Last game, he also just got blown off the dribble by Lauri Markkanen, which is never a good sign. So like there will be those question marks, and like over a 3-year deal, you're paying him whatever 20 some million a year. Like, did they really have to give him that? I don't know. But overall, just like I'm just happy that the Bulls, they kind of went for it. You could say, what are they exactly are they going for? Like, how good are they actually going to be? What is their ceiling over the next couple of years? All fair questions, but they've just been in such a malaise since trading Jimmy Butler. Even the last season, Jimmy Butler, the 3-alphas era was miserable to go through. And besides like the 2-0 series leading against the Celtics, That season sucked besides Jimmy, like blossoming into a star, basically. But they've been in such a malaise for so long. The Garpak stink has just been on this team for so long. Just the fact that they did kind of be aggressive. They went out, guys. They identified top targets, and they actually got them. Was just nice to see how it actually like all comes together. Obviously, big question marks. A lot of people have concerns. I'm definitely like sipping some of the Sea Red Kool-Aid, being a bit of a homer. I think that they should definitely be a play-in team. I think they could definitely, if things go right, they could probably be like a 4 or 5 seed. But the Eastern Conference, there's a lot of decent teams there. So I could see them finishing like 4th or even like 10th. I don't want to say they're going to finish 11th like Hollinger has them with like high 30s wins. But I have them like pretty firmly like the mid 40s in wins. And I think that they could possibly even maybe be a little bit better than that. But that could just be me being a homer. But and just being excited about having something to root for. But I think they really could be good offensively. And maybe better than people think defensively.
So the offensive stuff, I actually didn't have a problem with what the actual roster ended up looking like as much as most people. I think it was more so the order of operations that got there. It's like, you probably don't have to give up a first round pick in the DeMar DeRozan sign and trade if you also have to get off Amino in that deal. So it's just like, that was tough to put. You look at the roster specifically, they should be really good offensively. Do you have any idea of how they should be like staggering their top four guys in Lonzo, LaVine, DeMar, and Vooch? Because it does seem like they're trying to juggle. I think DeMar is great because this team needed like another real secondary creator. He's one of the best pick and roll passers in the game too at this point. But we've seen, you already mentioned it, Billy Donovan's talked about playing fast. I think Billy Donovan's also talked about putting the ball more in Lonzo Ball's hands in the half court, which is a weird thing to do based on what we've seen from him in the past and knowing you have LaVine, DeMar, and Vooch. So how do you sort of see this team like staggering those guys, like are there like is or just you know just making I guess trying to actualize all these different visions that they have with these four guys there?
I mean, Billy's talked about the need to stagger guys, just especially with the bench units. The bench is going to be interesting just because like they don't have that much like scoring juice off the bench. Kobe White's hurt right now, and obviously he'll be big as a bench guy. They got Caruso, and then the rest of the guys are all just kind of like versatile like forwards who like can't shoot, so they're gonna need some of that offensive juice playing with the bench units. Like yesterday in the last game against the Cavs, Zach was playing, it was like Zach and a bunch of bench guys at the end of the first quarter, so I think we'll see a lot of that. I mean, we might see a lot of DeRozan with the bench depending on who comes. Like I I'd have to look back to see how exactly he staggered the guys in the first couple games too, but I'm sure like one of Zach or DeRozan will like come out midway through the first, and then you bring them back, one of those guys back in for the start of the second. So it's one of those guys with the bench. So they're leading the second unit. I think Kobe, the days of Kobe White, like being a point guard probably are not going to, with the Bulls, at least this team probably won't be a thing. You got Caruso to be that off the bench as well. Kobe will be kind of a gunner to help score off the bench. And then obviously, yeah, how they also do it with Lonzo. You mentioned the stuff about like Lonzo said at media day, like how always going to be playing more like traditional point guard. Like, I really don't know how much they're actually going to have him like be like, here, Lonzo, here's the ball and go like create half court offense. Because that's just not his game. Like, he's tried a few times in preseason and like he's had a few like step back jumpers. And I think he did one really nice drive and finish the other night. I did not see that much of the Pelicans game. I just know that they won by 40 against a Pelicans team playing like nobody. But so like I think that maybe they like try to have him do a little more than he was doing with New Orleans, because obviously with New Orleans he was like, it was a lot of just 3-and-D point guard stuff. That's what he talked about. So maybe they give him a bit more responsibility if they have him playing against second units. But obviously, just in general, based on his skill set, he can't really drive and score for himself. He doesn't get to the free throw line. So like Lonzo will be super important pushing pace and transition, look aheads, that kind of stuff. But in terms of like half court offense, I'm assuming they'll be mostly Zach and DeRozan, and they will, it will be interesting to see just how Billy does stagger them. Like I said, he said he's going to do it. It's just a matter of what, how he ends up doing those rotations. If he has like Zach with the bench more, if he's DeRozan with the bench more, and then staggering Lonzo and Vooch as well will be interesting.
What have been your early impressions of how Caruso fits with this team?
Oh, he's been awesome. Everything we've hoped for. I know like Lakers fans loved him. We had Anthony Irwin on our pod on Cash Considerations a few weeks ago. And just like, he was very upset that the Lakers let him go. I was surprised the Lakers let him go.
Well, having the ability to keep him, like it just wasn't, they just decided to let him go.
Right. They didn't want to pay him. Yeah. I mean, and he's been great. I mean, this, again, I don't want to take too much from preseason results, but you just see the defensive effort. I'll got to shout out my guy, Steph Noe, did something on his Patreon, just showing just like all the great, like the little things that Caruso does defensively that you might not notice. He just plays so hard, just going over. I mean, especially like last year, Kobe White and Zach as a starting backcourt defensively was just not good. Got dying on screens. I mean, just the difference between Kobe and like Caruso, just Kobe would always die on screens. Caruso is fighting through screens, getting in passing lanes, getting deflections. I mean, Lonzo's been the same way as well. So just the defensive intensity. And I mean, he's been really good offensively too. Actually, in the first game he had 10 assists, and he's been one pushing pace, moving the ball around really well. So like, obviously you're not expecting much scoring out of Alex Caruso, but in terms of being that second unit point guard, and in terms of just the defense, given the way the roster is set up, because I mean, Vooch isn't known as a good defender. Zach hasn't been known as a defender. He's better than he used to be, but he's still not known as a defender. DeRozan, we talked about, he's bad defensively. Lonzo and Caruso with that perimeter defense, they're going to be needed. And so far, Caruso, through the preseason so far, he's been awesome. So he's been really fun.
Kobe is still dealing with that shoulder injury, right?
Yeah, he's not back until November.
What is the... You mentioned their like dearth of scoring off the bench, which would make sense. Like, he's important there. But like, does this sort of, you know, having Lonzo, having DeRozan, having, if you're planning on keeping Zach LaVine, obviously, does that like hinder his long-term future with this team? Or do you think they still view him as part of that core?
Yeah, I mean, I have to think it probably does. Like, he could definitely still be useful, as I mentioned, as that bench gunner. I think that's a more useful role for him. And so, I mean, when they tried him as a starting point guard last year, it just did not work. He has games where he can go off scoring, but just as a consistent point guard, it just was not working. Obviously, he's still super young, but the Bulls, just they speeding up their timeline. They didn't have time to just stick with it, and they moved away from him. He moved back to the bench last year. He started playing a little better towards the end of the year as a starting point guard when they had, like, when Vooch got there. I think having Vooch there really helped him. But just, like, you don't want to – if you're trying to be serious about winning games, you just don't – not Kobe White can't be your starting point guard. That's why they go get Lonzo Ball, at least right now. Maybe Kobe does develop, probably with another team. Lonzo's here. He's on a long-term deal. He's young. You have Zach. You have DeRozan. Like, Kobe White is not going to get many of those point guard reps. You can do it occasionally, but not as your full-time guy. So like in terms of his long-term future here, like for this season, I mean, you see him as the bench gunner. I mean, I guess it wouldn't surprise me if they did look to trade him at some point. I guess really, I'm not really sure what you get for him right now, but I guess we'll see. That's why the injury was such a huge bummer, because like he lost all his whole offseason. And like now he is coming back to a role that I think should be better for him. But I guess I'm just not really sure then how he will work in the rotation. He'll obviously get minutes next to Caruso as that bench backcourt, but it will be interesting to see just like how much he plays And he's certainly not, I certainly can't like view him as a franchise cornerstone at this point anymore.
For sure.
He can still be useful, whether it's on this team as that bench scorer, as a trade chip, maybe somebody else wants to take a chance on him and try to develop him as that, as a point guard of the future type. But I can't see how it happens here now with Lonzo, Zach, DeRozan.
Patrick Williams also injured, although one of the rare occasions where the team was like super pessimistic about his timeline for return, and it seems like he's just going to shatter it.
Yeah,
like, wasn't the timeline on it like, was it something ridiculous, like 3 months or something?
And no, so what it was the first, it came out like a week after he got hurt, and they announced 4 to 6 weeks. Then it was okay. Like, so it was like a month and a half. But then like it was then clarified that, oh, like this injury actually happened a week before we announced it. So like maybe he'll actually be back for like the start of the season. And now he's apparently back at practice. I think he played some 5-on-5 today. And it sounds like there might be a chance he plays in their last preseason game on Friday. So if anything, he's like coming back at like the very, very front end of that 4 to 6 months. I don't think I ever saw anything like 3 months. I think that was super, super pessimistic. But I mean, there was concern if he missed like the full 6 weeks. And if it was from that initial time, which was like, I think the end of September, that he would have missed time into November. And he would have missed the first couple weeks, which would have also been a bummer because second season, he's got to learn how to play with the other starters because he's that fifth starter. He's obviously super young. He didn't have a normal training camp or whatever, summer league last year, and a weird, obviously, rookie season. And now to miss out on this time. But it sounds like he is basically going to be back pretty soon here. If he doesn't play in the last preseason game, it sounds like he'll probably be ready for opening night at least next week, which is that's the least exciting.
It seems like they've, and this is dating back to last season, they've just decided that he's going to be like one of the best wing defenders in basketball. It feels like that's how they've treated him. Do you view him as a guy that's capable of doing that? And also, what is his, like, is he ever going to get a chance to even try to branch out on offense at this point? You just look at the talent around him. It's like, well, what is he supposed to do other than play off the ball right now?
Right, exactly. Defensively, yeah. Last year, they basically put him on everybody. Like, they tried him from, like, on like Giannis to LeBron, to Kawhi, to Devin. Like, they had him chasing Devin Booker one game, and Booker just absolutely destroyed him. So, like, I don't want Patrick Williams, like, out there guarding, like, two guards. Like, I don't know if he's really that guy. I mean, those bigger guys like LeBron and Kawhi, he probably will be matching up against them. He does, like, kind of lack, I think he doesn't really have the best foot speed, which he could still, in, like, lateral movement. That was kind of one of the knocks on him coming out of Florida State, that he's just not always the quickest. So like guarding those smaller guys, really probably not the best thing. Like I said, guarding Devin Booker, probably not what he should be doing. Like that should be like Lonzo guarding that type of guy, Caruso, even Zach as well. Patrick Williams, probably not. Guarding maybe some of those bigger wings, and also just playing around the rim as well and acting as a rim protector. He's pretty good at doing that. He's what, 6'8", 6'9". He's got pretty good instincts playing off the ball like that, and like help side or weak side, like rim protection, that kind of stuff. Because Vooch, not a really much of a rim protector. Vooch is he's a fine defender. He positioning wise, he's decent, but he obviously doesn't block many shots. He's kind of slow footed. So like having Pat there to kind of help in that regard, I think would be good. And he'll definitely get some of those tough wing assignments, but like I said, definitely don't really want him running around like guarding Devin Booker, guarding like point guards or like quick two guards. But and then offensively, yeah, like in summer league, the Bulls did put the ball in his hands a ton. And like, he was like, hey, you're going to go run this offense, get a bunch of shots. And he looked really good at times. Other times the efficiency wasn't there. On this team, when you're trying to win games, I just don't think he'll probably get that many opportunities. Like he'll probably get some, maybe when you are like staggering guys and if he's playing with bench units, maybe you do give him some pick and roll chances, opportunities like that. But he's just not going to get that many opportunities when you have Zach, DeRozan, Lonzo, when you get Kobe White back. Like, so he is probably going to be a spot up guy. So I think just the key is to him to be aggressive when he does get those opportunities. He shot on very low volume, a really solid percentage from three. I think it was like 38, 39%, something like that. So he does have a pretty decent, like nice high arcing 3-point shot. Too many times he would get a little too passive though. Pass up shots wouldn't be aggressive enough when he did get those opportunities. So he's got to be able to hit those open threes, attack closeouts, attack the offensive glass, cutting. He's a pretty good cutter, smart cutter when he has those chances. So when that ball's moving around and you have good passers like DeMar with Lonzo and Vooch, like those guys he will hit him for passes if he's and catch guys napping off on the other side or off cuts like that. So he'll have to be opportunistic with his offense. And maybe somewhere down the line, maybe he does develop into a branch out that offense, like you said. But for now, he'll be mostly off ball. He'll have to be opportunistic about those chances.
What is their backup five rotation going to look like? And this is just really my way of asking, like, they seem like they're built to get weird with the backup five rotation. And are they going to lean into that where maybe we see some like DJJ at the five.
Yeah, so they signed Tony Bradley. He has not played in preseason. We might see a lot of Alize Johnson as the backup five. He's been kind of doing that in preseason, and he's looked pretty good. He is small. We saw Evan Mobley
like six,
kind of
6'7", right? 6'8"?
Yeah, six, I think he's 6'7". Like, he tries his ass off and all that, which is great. He's an incredible rebounder, and that's continued in his limited minutes with the Nets last year, and his permanent rebounding was insane, and that has continued into preseason. I think he had 11 rebounds in 18 or 19 minutes, I think, in the last game against the Cavs. And that, he did that earlier in the preseason as well. But he is undersized. He did have foul trouble, will probably be an issue. I mentioned Evan Mobley just took him to school in the post a few times just because too small. But I think there will be occasions where you do see Alize. Like, we'll see about Tony Bradley once he gets worked in the rotation. DJJ possibly. I'm assuming DJJ will be their backup four probably. I mean, maybe they – it might be between him and Alize and then Bradley. Those three guys will be the main backup big guys. I know Stanley Johnson is on the roster. He played a bunch of backup five with the Raptors last year, but I don't know if he's going to make the team or not. Because he has maybe a partial guarantee. I can't remember exactly what kind of guarantee he has. I think Alize is not fully guaranteed either, but I think Alize is making the team for sure. Stanley has not looked good in preseason, but I know if he does make the team, they could get weird to go if there are injuries, especially maybe they go weird with him at the five. Maybe they go Patrick Williams at the five sometimes as well. So they do it. They just have a lot of dudes that are 6'7" to 6'9" or even 6'6". Derek Jones Jr., I guess, is 6'5". I always forget that he's not right. 6'8". He's only 6'5". They have a lot of the 6'5" to 6'9" wing athletic wings who can play maybe 3 through 5 if they do get really funky and want to play super small and really fast. So it will be really interesting to see how Billy works out those rotations and in certain matchups. They do want to go super small and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting.
Has Javonte Green assured himself a spot in the rotation? Dude is defending fours in the preseason from what I've read / seen.
He blocked Evan Mobley multiple times. Other times Mobley looked much better in the second Bulls Cavs game, but he has stoned Mobley and Markkanen multiple times in the post. He tries really hard. He's only 6'4", so he's been taking Patrick Williams' spot. I don't know if he'll have a set spot in the rotation, but I think there will definitely be times where he is going to be hey, if the Bulls need a spark, we are putting Javonte Green in this game. Maybe he does. I mean, maybe he's in front of Derek Jones as the backup four or I guess backup three, because Troy Brown Jr. is there as well on the wing. He's been okay. He had 3 threes in the first game and has been kind of quiet since then. So again, Troy Brown's another 6'7" wing forward, versatile kind of dude who can't really shoot either. So how they work out all his minutes with Green, with Brown, with Jones, with Bradley, with Alize Johnson, if Stanley Johnson makes a team, how they work that out would kind of be fascinating. But Javonte in that first preseason game was really awesome. Like I said, he's kind of come back down to earth a bit. He is still just Javonte Green. No offense to him, but he is a role player, bit role player. He's not wasn't going to have huge games all the time like he did, but he at least at the end of last season, he also had some really nice flashes where just the energy, the athleticism, and that goes back into playing fast. If you're looking to speed teams up and you're looking for some defensive pressure, some wing pressure, even some post defense, he's been giving it. So I don't know if he's gonna have a definite spot in the rotation, but he's definitely opened some eyes, at least this preseason play.
What do you think this team can be on defense? And they were average after the Vooch trade, but that's with the caveat. LaVine missing a lot of time probably helps that, even though he's improved. And there are going to be minutes where they play Vooch and DeMar DeRozan and LaVine together pretty extensively.
Yeah.
And it just feels is the path to them overachieving on defense playing super aggressively? Is there something that they could do? Does this team have a realistic chance of being a league average defense?
Yeah, so you mentioned they were average defensively last year. They were 12th. Obviously, a lot of teams kind of mixed in there, a few points here or there. You can drop a bit, but I am hoping for league average defense. I know Stacey King, bless his heart. I think it was the second preseason game. Was they could be a top five defense, and I was just let's chill out here for a second. They've looked good in preseason against the Cavs and against the Pelicans without Zion, without Brandon Ingram. Yeah. You can look good against those teams. And I mentioned they are first right now in preseason defensive ratings. They played, again, the Cavs twice. One of those games, this last game, no Darius Garland, no Colin Sexton. They played the Pelicans without their two best offensive players. So you can look good doing that. I think a lot of it will be forcing turnovers. I mentioned how deflection, steals, blocks, they've racked those up big time. So like Lonzo and Caruso are going to be huge there. Patrick Williams, how he develops, is going to be huge there. So they're going to be banking a lot on those guys. Maybe even Javonte Green, maybe even like Alzay Johnson or whoever they these athletic guys off the bench. They are going to be banking on them and Levine's improvement, because DeRozan is what he is. He's not going to be a good defensively. I mean, maybe he gives a crap enough where it's like enough. And Vooch is the same way. Vooch at least has like quick hands. His position I mentioned is decent. So you hope that like they're just not awful, and that Caruso and Lonzo just like wreak so much havoc on the perimeter that it just like that it just makes life difficult for those guys, and it just kind of cuts off teams' offenses, especially against bad teams. If they can at least shut down bad teams, then good teams will probably just take advantage of them sometimes, and it'll be nights where they just look absolutely awful. It's because their personnel isn't totally that great. But I think if they do force turnovers, like we have seen, they've had, again, caveats, preseason opponents, all that, they have forced like double-digit steals in all these games. They have been very active hands. Lonzo has been racking up steals. Caruso's done it. Green, Javonte Green's done it. Vooch even had three steals the other day. If they can do that and force those turnovers, that can kind of help make up for some of the lack of the interior rim protection and then just some of those weaker defenders. Again, I think the path to get to an average defense, like I said, if they finish in the top half of the league defensively, I think that'd be huge, because I do think their offense should be hopefully in the top 10. So if you're looking at a top 10 offense and then a league average defense, that's a team that could hopefully win mid-40s in games and either hopefully avoid the play-in or at least be one of like whatever 6, 7, or 8 or something like that.
This question is always a little matchup dependent, but what do you view or what do you think should be their go-to closing unit this season? Is it just the starting lineup, or are you subbing out someone there to put in Caruso to make sure he's on the floor?
Yeah, I think the popular lineup is probably subbing Pat out when he's healthy and putting Caruso in and just going Caruso, Lonzo, and you move up DeRozan to the four, and you got Caruso, Lonzo, Zach, DeRozan, Vooch. I think it's going to be a pretty popular closing go-to lineup for them. Some of this could depend on how Pat develops. Like if he is somehow really good and he just fits really well, it might just be that starting lineup. There might be nights where Kobe closes if he's got it really going, like from beyond the three-point line, and you just want to ride the hot hand. I could see him being in there instead of Pat, maybe instead of Lonzo. But I do think they really like having Lonzo out there just for the defensive stuff. So that might be, again, Pat or even DeRozan. I mean, I guess you're probably not benching those top four guys. So a lot of it just comes down to like, is Pat going to be in the closing lineup, or is it going to be Caruso, or is it going to be Kobe White once he gets healthy? So like I mentioned, I think the Caruso thing, Caruso is probably going to get a ton of minutes because they're just going to need his defense. They need, I mean, he's a smart player offensively as well. So I think that's probably going to be the popular one. Well, again, we'll see how Pat does, if he can work his way into closing games, and then maybe some Kobe White. Maybe there'll be other nights where if somebody else really has it going, maybe they do someone else closes games, obviously when there's injuries, when there's foul trouble, something like that. But yeah, I think it's Caruso and Kobe, the two main guys off the bench, and the rest is kind of question marks. So we'll see. I'm really looking forward to the Caruso closing lineup though, because they did throw it out there that first game against the Cavs was when they really kind of blew open that first game. Like it was pretty competitive, like the first quarter and a half. Those two got Caruso came in for Javonte Green and it was that 5-man rotation. They blew out the lead to like 20. They were doing showtime. They were running up and down the court. Zach was throwing down alley-oop dunks. That was a lot of fun. So I'm hoping that's the kind of stuff we see with that lineup.
Does Donovan have like the gall to pull DeRozan in those situations?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I said that and then I'm like, oh, would he really do that? I mean, maybe, but I don't know if he'd be happy about that. Like, I could see that if there are times where, like, if he's struggling defensively, not that like Kobe White's a great defender, but if he's struggling defensively, like maybe they put Caruso in for him and you keep Pat out there and it's Caruso, Lonzo, Zach, Pat, and Vooch. I mean, I could maybe see that. Or if they do want to go super small, you go like Caruso, Lonzo, DeRozan, Levine. And like Pat Williams at the five, like they could get super funky and super small and super fast in some of these lineups. So it could be really fun. Like at the very least, even if they're not good, like if they disappoint and they're not good, it would be a bummer. I think they should at least be very entertaining in the way they play.
See, pulling DeRozan was like my first instinct if they needed defense, but I do think having that other ball handler there.
I think for like late game scoring, again, to take that pressure off Zach, I think is where DeRozan, especially when the game slows down, DeRozan will probably be out there, but there could be nights if he just doesn't have it, or if he really is just getting crushed defensively, that I could see them maybe going a different direction.
You might have already mentioned it, but is there a weird oddball out of left field lineup you really want them to try this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think I did kind of mention, like, would like to see them maybe try Patrick Williams playing the five. With who else? I don't know. Obviously, Vooch there at the five is going to be getting a lot of minutes. But again, if you certain matchups, if other teams are going small, or if you want to force teams to go really small, throw Patrick Williams out there at the five. Like I said, maybe Caruso, Zach, Lonzo, DeRozan, and Pat. Maybe you work in Kobe White instead of one of those guys. Maybe you have someone else instead of DeRozan at the four. But I think I would like to see Pat maybe get some minutes at the five. Just, I mentioned that like his rim protection is pretty solid for like what he is. That's something he could continue to get better at. And again, that would just make for some really, I think you can get some pretty crazy lineups going there. So something like that, I guess any of those guys. I mean, just if you want to like play some super small ball, if Vooch doesn't have it, or if they like defensively, like they're really struggling because he's like really struggling defensively, because they're gonna drop most likely with him because he just doesn't have the foot speed to go edge and trap guys. So like, yeah, if there are times where like the Bulls want to start to go trap on defense, be a bit more aggressive on defense, just super downsize. And see if they can just get aggressive, force steals, and do that kind of stuff. They could be interesting.
Mine was, I want to see Patrick Williams with basically four guards. Give me Lonzo, Caruso, Green, and LaVine with Patrick Williams. Yeah.
There you go.
See what happens. Yeah. I really wanted to find a way to work Troy Brown Jr. into that lineup / into this podcast, because I was so, he had like flashes with the Bulls when he was traded there last year.
Yeah.
But it feels like very much the idea of Troy Brown Jr. at this point is just outstripping the actual Troy Brown Jr.
Yeah, he had some really nice just like hustle plays last year. I know, and with like the Wizards, I think he like they tried him out at point guard like a little bit in like his first or second season. So it's like, oh, like maybe Troy Brown Jr. can be like another just ball handler, strong defender. Like I know he guarded like I think Kyrie decently well in a game last year. So like decent like another energy like guy off the bench, but. The thing with him is the shooting, which I mean, that's so many guys like that where this that just like swing skill. Like, can you at least make an open jumper like 30 at league average rate? So far, he has not done that in his career. I mentioned that he hit a few in that first preseason game. I think the last game, I think he was like 0-for-3. So the lack of a consistent jumper, I think, is one thing definitely hurting him from like maybe having a definite spot in this rotation. Like, I would like to see him get some minutes. It would be nice to see him blossom into a key rotation player off the bench. Just again, because they have so many of these wings, and that's something they haven't had in recent years. They just like haven't had playable wings. I mean, they've been playing Denzel Valentine and Chandler Hutchinson at like real wing minutes in recent years. It's like, these guys stink. You're hoping that these guys they brought in, they got Javonte now, Troy Brown Jr., Derrick Jones Jr., guys like that can be better than what those guys in the past have given. I guess the problem is a lot of them just like can't shoot. So like they're versatile athletic players, just can't really shoot. The Bulls are banking on the top seven just taking care of that shooting. So yeah, it'll be interesting with Troy Brown. Like I like the idea of it. I like getting him in that trade because that was like the Gafford trade, which would included Daniel Tice. I can't even remember what all that mess was, but I think it was a nice like guy to take a gamble on. Like maybe he still can provide some strong minutes there, but nothing guaranteed for sure. Because I think with him, it's the shooting. If he can get that shooting up to league average, maybe a little better, just hit open corner threes, play hard defense, there could be a spot in the rotation for him.
I didn't send you this in the outline because I forgot, but what did you think of the Io DeSumo pick?
Oh, I mean, I'm an Illinois guy. I went to Illinois. I watched Illinois basketball a ton. So, like, I thought it was cool. I mean, just staying home. He's a Chicago guy. It was somewhat controversial on Bulls Twitter just because a lot of Bulls Twitter wanted Sharif Cooper because Sharif Cooper fell super far. A lot of people were wondering, like, why is this? He's arguably, like, the best passer in the draft. Like, obviously, he's super short. I think he had the shooting issues.
He had shooting issues.
Yeah, like, big time, yeah. But he looked awesome in Summer League, and I think he's done pretty well in preseason from what I've seen. Again, I haven't followed too much of other teams' preseason action so far. But there was this argument between, like, those two. And, I mean, I think Jared Butler might have gone after Io as well. From Baylor, and I think that was another guy like, oh, maybe they should have taken him instead, but like, whatever. Some people like were mocking Io late in the first round before the draft,
right?
He had an awesome career at Illinois. It did not end well with the loss of Loyola. Maybe one of his worst games of his college career came at the worst possible time, but he was a stone cold clutch killer at Illinois. Showed that actually in the last preseason game, hit some really clutch shots against the Cavs to help beat them. His shooting definitely is something that he'll have to work on. He did get better over the course of his college career, but did hit a three the other night too. But if he can, I think he might make his hay defensively. He has a really, he's really long. I think he's got almost a 7-foot wingspan. So if he's another guy, like, he probably won't play much as a rookie. May hopefully get some time in the G League with the Windy City Bulls. But if he can be a guy who can develop a shot a bit, play really hard defensively, again, that's another just wing dude with some questionable shooting there on the wing for the Bulls. But he could have a decent career. Like I said, I mean, when you're picking at, what was that, 38, you never really are expecting home runs. But I think he was a borderline for arguable first-round talent. You get him at 38 or whatever. And as a Chicago, Illinois guy, I can't complain about the pick at all. I was excited to see him win the game for the Bulls the other night. So hopefully he develops. Hopefully get some G League time. Maybe he'll see if there's injuries. I hope they're not injuries, but maybe he'll be able to show some stuff with the actual Bulls. But since the Bulls are trying to win games this season,
right?
Probably better that he is not playing real minutes. Like if you get some spot minutes here and there, that'd be fine. But hopefully he's able to show something in the league. Because I'd love to see an Illinois guy do really well in the NBA, and especially for the Bulls. That'd be really cool.
As we record this, their over-under win total is set at 43.5. Are you going over-under on that? You mentioned where they could finish in the East. I tend to agree with you, and I'll say it. I could see them finishing anywhere between 4th and 11th, just like any other team that I would say could finish between 4th and 11th. Where do you think they ultimately wind up in the bigger picture of the East?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in saying that they'll get 45 wins. So I think around 45, maybe if things go like really right, they get to like 47, high 40s. On my podcast with Ricky O'Donnell on Cash Considerations like a few weeks ago when the schedule first came out, we went through each game and like picked win-loss. I somehow got to 50 wins. I don't think that's going to happen. Like that is high end. I guess if everything really comes together and they're like better defensively, maybe they make another in-season like trade upgrade, something like that. Maybe, and like that really works out. Like maybe they can get to 50. I would not bet on them getting 50 wins. Like I said, I'm pretty comfortable on this over. Yeah, getting to like mid 40s, like 45, 46. I think they can do that. And like I said, 45, 46 hopefully gets you 5 or 6, something like that. Again, with the East, like, there's such a jumble. Once you get past Brooklyn, I mean, Brooklyn, even without Kyrie, whatever the heck's going on there, like they're still going to be awesome. The Bucks are going to be awesome. And then after that, you got Miami, Boston. And then, the Knicks, the Hawks, like the Bulls, the Pacers, we'll see how they are. All these teams always jumble
Raptors,
up.
Like, Hornets, Raptors, Hornets. Yeah, there's just.
We'll see with the Raptors. Yeah, we'll see like how all these teams do. Because, depending on injuries, you never know how that's going to go. And all this kind of stuff. Like a lot of these teams could just kind of, the Hornets as well. Hornets, like they could finish, like you mentioned, like. So up to like 4, 3, I feel like Miami should probably be pretty firmly in the third, maybe Boston, something like that. But
Atlanta in front of,
yeah, I guess Atlanta too. Yeah. Atlanta's so dead. I keep forgetting just how good Atlanta was from the time they fired Lloyd Pierce all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. They had a ridiculous winning percentage. All these teams are like, oh yeah, I can really talk themselves into being like really good. So then some teams will have to fall back. And I guess I'm just hoping, semi-confident, me being a homer, that the Bulls will end up, hopefully get to 6. I'd love to stay out of the play-in tournament. Obviously, if they end up 7 or 8, that is in the play-in. At least give yourself a chance. If they do not at least make the play-in tournament, that would obviously be a huge disappointment. Like, I don't know if you have to worry about Zach maybe leaving if that doesn't happen, but I mean, maybe disaster does strike. Like I said, Hollinger has them winning like 37 games, I think, and finishing 11th. Like that would be a complete disaster. I think they will be better than that. I know he was really down on the DeRozan move, really down on the defense and that kind of stuff. And I think he was down on their shooting as well in that article that he did. So like, I think they're going to be better than that. I think they should be able to at least get in the mid 40s. So I'm going over, hammer that over.
We have not done our over unders pod here yet. I have zero idea what to pick for the Bulls. I just don't. I see the arguments on both sides, and I don't know that I love this team, but I look at the talent, and I'm like, you know, 44 wins feels like it's one of those lines that I'm still thinking about after looking at it.
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. Like I said, I think they're definitely better than like the 37 that Hollander has in the map. But like, if you think maybe they'll be like 500, and just with the East being like allegedly so much better, again, we'll see how it plays out. A lot of things can change, but like, yeah, if lose some close games, if the East ends up being like as good as expected or even better, like maybe they do go down more a bit in that pack of teams and they end up, you know, like 40, 41, 42, and maybe they do get under. Like I said, I'm pretty confident they're going to get out of the 30 win mark because they were 31 and 41 last year in the shortened season. And that was with a lot of issues again. And it was a weird season. I think the talent level is just too much. Barring injury, of course. Obviously, if someone gets hurt, that can throw off everything. But as long as they're relatively healthy, I feel like their talent level is too much to not at least get into the 40s with wins. And then again, comes together nicely, get into the 40s, maybe in high 40s. That's everything goes great.
I skipped this cookie cutter question for some reason. Who's the player on this team most likely to be traded by the deadline as of now? I know that can obviously change as the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably Coby White, I guess. We kind of mentioned that earlier. I mean, and also I don't want to say like Patrick Williams, he's in a second season, but if they want to think about doing something like huge,
yeah,
I guess in that case, you're trading maybe both of them, like Patrick Williams, Coby White, whatever draft assets left, if they want to try to make like another splash move for who, I have no idea. But like, if Pat isn't developing as you hope, and they're like, they want to try to go all in even more, maybe you trade Patrick Williams for a more proven player. But I think that is maybe a bit out there. That's why I think I would probably say Coby White first, just because it seems like he is a bit like, maybe as we talked about, maybe doesn't have like a long-term future on the team. At least Pat, if anything, he's locked in right now as their starting four. Just got to show that he can be their long-term guy there. But I think they kind of think that he should be. With Coby, after a couple of years now, it's like, what is he going to be? Is he a bench guy? He tops out at that. Like, maybe you try to flip him into something else, which is why I think I'd probably pick him first. I mean, there are other guys towards the end of the roster that could turn over as well. But out of the main guys, it's probably Coby and then maybe Patrick Williams if they're thinking big, if they want to have a win now upgrade.
I took the cop-out route and said Derek Jones Jr., just because that $9 million salary is like perfect.
Yeah, that's actually a really, really good choice as well. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, the expiring contract, if they want to flip, you just use him to get somebody else as well. That's a really good one.
Is there anyone on this roster or anything else about this team I didn't ask you about that you think we need to discuss?
I don't think so. Like I said, I think they're going to be very entertaining to watch. I think they should be really good offensively. The defense could be just a big swing in just how good they actually are. If they're like below average, mediocre defensively, maybe that is how they end up having a disappointing season. They end lower end play-in team, or maybe somehow miss the play-in. But if they are decent defensively, that's how they can get into a scenario where they get into maybe the top four, five, something like that. And then it's just going to be with Billy Donovan. I guess we haven't talked about Billy much other than like he's got rotations to figure out and all that stuff. I am just very curious to see just how he does work all these guys. Because I mean, last year he started with a pretty young team. And then there was a lot of turnover at the deadline with a weird season. So he was trying to work stuff going there, work them together then. Didn't really work out. And now he's got this full training camp with all these new players trying to work this together, trying to implement playing faster, playing smaller. He talked about how he thought that they were too big of a team last season. So I think he does seem like he's kind of in on playing like super small a lot. You mentioned like Patrick Williams with four guards or like Vooch with four guards. Like, I think he's kind of down to do that a lot. So how he does and how he brings this team together, I think will also be very interesting. So if they buy in defensively and they can be decent and that offense is as good as I think it can be in terms of just ball movement, pushing pace, hopefully shooting well from three, they can be a really dang good team. Besides that, like, I don't think we've touched on basically almost everybody. I'm trying to think of I haven't said anything about Matt Thomas, end of bench guy but I really have nothing to say about him. So I think we've basically hit on everybody. I will say again, this new front office, I mentioned the guard pack stink. They've like turned over the roster, basically the entire roster from the guard packs era. It's basically just now Zach and Coby, I think, the two guys left from the old regime. I will say, like, whatever you, I get the like the criticisms about like they're going like all, maybe too all in on a roster that doesn't have like this championship ceiling. They certainly don't this year. They're not going to win a championship this year. I said maybe they win one playoff series. Maybe they get lucky, compete in a second round playoff series. Like, I don't think they're going to do what the Hawks did last year and like make the Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe they just everything goes crazy and they give it to you and they somehow pull it off. I still would not bet on that, but I do just like that they were aggressive again, and they tried to make something happen here. I think they did. I think they owed it to Zach. Acted
like a big market team.
Yeah, act like a big market team. I think they owed it to Zach, who seems like he wants to be here. Like I said, if this season goes like really off the rails, like I'm not really sure if they're in danger of losing him. I mean, maybe he would want to go somewhere else. He had the Olympic experience. I'm sure guys were in his ear like, hey, if the Bulls stink this year, come sign with us. I mean, he said all the right things. The Bulls can offer him the most money. So I think they owed it to Zach to be aggressive like this and to show him that they were serious about building a team that could at least compete And just because they're not a championship caliber team this year, that doesn't mean they can't be in like the next couple of years. I mean, never know what other moves they have up their sleeves in the future, whether if Patrick Williams somehow develops into a really, really good player. I mean, him taking a leap could be that difference, or if they do pull off a trade for another really good player, another star player, maybe in the next couple of years, they are a title contender. So for this team where they've been, they've just been so bad. Worst record in the NBA since trading Jimmy Butler, worse than the Knicks, worse than like the Kings or any of these other bad teams. They have had the worst record in the NBA over the last 4 years. They gotta get to a point where they're at least good and respectable first. And I think that's what they're trying to do here. And from that point, you hopefully Zach resigns, and then you hopefully take that next step in the next couple of years. So again, a lot, you're obviously hoping a lot of things. You're hoping this talent all meshes together. I liked the gamble that they took. They give up a little too much maybe for some of these guys, probably, but they had to do something. They were kind of stuck, and they had to, sometimes you got to overpay to get out of it. And I guess what it also comes down to is a lot of people do subscribe to like championship or bust mentality. At this point, like I just can't do it. Like I want to watch good basketball. I think the fact that the guys the Bulls got, I think it should be fun. They should be pretty good. And that at least is enough for me right now. Like obviously after a while, you do want to take that next step. But I think for this season, what they did, I think makes some sense. I like that they went for it, that they acted like a big market team, and just hoping it works out.
Jason, this was great. Thank you for giving me so much of your time. Are you able to tell our listeners where they can find you and all of your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned my podcast, Cash Considerations. I do that with Ricky O'Donnell, part of the Blue Wire Network.
Fantastic name of the podcast, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say since they changed over to this regime, because I was making fun of the old Bulls regime of guard packs and the cash considerations and all that. We joked, oh, maybe we should change our name. Never. It's going to stay Cash Considerations always. Check that out. We usually record like once or twice a week, obviously with the season ramping up here. Fun times for that. You can find Bulls stuff for me at Bloggable, SB Nation's Bloggable, also over at Forbes. And I also do editing stuff at Clutch Points. Go check out Clutch Points. I'm sure some of you all know Clutch Points as crazy image place. We like to do crazy graphics and all that kind of stuff. So go check that out as well. And that's basically it. Thank you so much for having me, man. This was great.
No problem. And make sure you guys are following Jason on Twitter. Great.
Yeah,
follow.
I forgot about my Twitter account.
At Bulls _J, spelled exactly as it sounds. I love the handles that I don't have to spend out. Jason, thank you so much for hopping on. And I'm sure I'll be pestering you again down the line.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, man.